a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. We are up here on Riverdale Road at the Wasatch Front Kia. All you got to do is look for the big tents. They're doing their ninth annual Memorial Day tent sale, which means the tents go up.
Prices go down.
Ah, there you go, Scott. See, I know, that's what we do. We set each other up for success. They've got the Godzilla blow up in front of the dealership. Scott goes, they got four blowers going on that thing.
Yeah, they do.
That means they're taking it serious.
Well, it's hot today.
It is hot.
Well, and there's a little sidelight, too, is you have all the airplanes, like, taking off and landing.
Oh, yeah. See, and that's the thing is you
get like an air show.
You live down in Salt Lake Valley.
Right.
See, and I live up this way. So I get to see those fighter jets from the Hill Air Force Base and hear them all the time. And I can't get enough of them. I mean, I've only lived up here a couple of years. In Davis County.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Took it for granted living in Salt Lake all those years. I just went, man. So here we are. We're at Wasatch Front Kia. We've got some Jazz gear to give away. We've got tons of stuff to get through on the program. We've got some hot dills we're going to get you. Speaking of hot, hottest day of the year so far. Congratulations. We got there just in time for
That's
us
like
to,
a record, right, for the year? So this is a significant day?
I guess. I mean, my thing is this. I like the warm. You know, I like the warm. But I don't like the hot. And we're going to be getting into the Memorial Day weekend.
We're going to get the 90 straight temperature for forever.
No, you know what we're doing, though, this weekend?
It's going to
highs
stink.
Of 50,
yeah.
Rain,
yeah.
Right? Just in time for us to be able to take some time off, play some golf for Memorial Day. Not going to happen.
Nope.
So I'll take it on a day like today. We love it. It's a beautiful day, so you can come up and visit us
you
here.
You want an update on my Peeping Tom mom?
You know what?
I got an update. I just got an update this morning.
I'm just going to tell you right now. You never have to ask. Please never
just
ask.
Don't
I
even
just
ask.
Like you start the show off with okay to catch people up on speed. Scott was down. Scott was down in Arizona visiting his mother.
Yes.
And his mom said, "Scott, bring me some binoculars."
Yes.
And his sister said, "Do not bring
Do
mom.
Do not bring yes
the binoculars because
Correct.
She uses the binoculars to spy on neighbors." Now, if you and I did this, it's a felony. When your mom does it and she's 85 years old, it's cute.
And in a wheelchair, it's funny.
Cute.
Right, exactly.
Right. So Scott obliged.
Peeping Tom mom.
he bought the binoculars for mom. What's going on down there in her retirement?
So she
community?
Hasn't put them down.
Of course not.
Like she doesn't even turn the TV on anymore.
That's how she eats meals. She sits there.
And the funny thing is she's realized she thought objects were different than what they were. And she's like, well, that's not a trailer.
Oh, I thought that was.
That's like.
Mike lives there? I thought that
wall.
Was Bill. Right. Yeah, yeah. So what'd you find out?
That she just hasn't put him down.
That's a great thing.
She sits by the window 24/7.
Could you be charged with something?
For if what? Looking out your
house,
window?
Right. If you're in your own house, as long as you're not on their property peeping in their windows, It's not a peeping Tom situation. This is just looking around.
She's neighborhood surveillance.
Walking around, looking around.
Making sure that there's no riffraff that
perfect
goes on.
That's perfect. So anytime you can give me a –
Once she figured out how to use them, she was a little bit like clueless as to how to use them.
When she witnesses a crime, please break in with breaking
news. Does
this
not sound like Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
I'm all for
it. It has the makings of that right now.
I live through your mom's peeping Tom experiences. So just keep them coming.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of them. Scott, we're going to start the show off as we always do. And that's with the cut right here at the top of the program. Let's just jump right on here. And we've got some stuff we want to roll out. So let's do it.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut, as usual, brought to you by the folks at University of Utah Health. University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. That's uofuhealth.org. So we've got a Twitter poll up, Scott, and I'm gonna tell you what the Twitter poll is. I'm not here to talk totally about what the Twitter poll is
right
this segment, but I just want to cue it up. So you can go over to the Unrivaled Twitter page. You can go to the KSL Sports Twitter page. You can go to the Zone Sports Network Twitter page. And we've got this kind of question up here. Now, Russia did a fun thing where they did a very Russia thing.
Yes, Vladimir.
Very Vladimir Putin-esque. And they just said, hey, by the way, here are the dozen or so.
It's 1,000 people.
Is it 1,000?
It's 1,000 U.S. citizens that are banned from entrance into Russia.
Yeah. So, you know, you put that on there and you say, hey, man, we want to absolutely just get ahead of this thing and just tell you who's not allowed to come in.
Yeah.
Now, part of the thing is those people probably wouldn't go anyway.
That's kind of the irony of all. Right.
Like Mitt Romney doesn't want to go to Russia and just hang out. All right. So,
well, the funny thing is AOC. Right. So you have conservatives and liberals on.
Right. Right. Both.
He's not just one.
He doesn't
party.
Want anybody. He didn't want anybody. All right. Yeah. So this list of 1,000, and it's just grandstanding to just go, because we could do the same thing, right? And just go, you know what? I don't want these 1,000 people coming into the U.S. either.
Right.
But we don't do that. It's
you know,
just,
Mike Lee did make the list.
He's on the list?
No, he can travel.
Oh, he's
the
good.
Only elected official from Utah that actually can
you
travel.
You know what?
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Does not surprise me.
And Hunter Biden.
It's an easy one, right?
So, in fact, they encourage Hunter.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's probably already there.
He's that guy that gets a free pass for life.
So
you come over to Russia anytime.
So Travis Hansen, former BYU basketball star, has dual citizenship in Russia, friend of Vladimir Putin,
yes.
And also
Dennis
Michael.
Rodman.
Is Rodman, of course. Yeah, so all these people who are
Dennis Rodman actually can get into any country he wants.
We put it's funny enough, it's almost the United States he can't stay
right.
in, right? So we just thought to ourselves, okay, if we could just willy-nilly, there's nothing serious about this poll, but if you could willy-nilly just ban certain athletes that you would never want to see here again in the state of Utah, we put it up on the Twitter poll, and we're going to go through some of those answers a little bit later. So I want you to start to think, who's the person that I don't want to see in the state of Utah anymore? Who's the person who's not allowed in your stadium anymore? That's also, I think, something that should be on the horizon. Because there are people that Utah will be happy to never have back in Rice-Eccles Stadium again.
Think Max Hall is one of those?
It's funny that that's the first name that came to mind.
It just did.
It's
just
the first name that comes to mind for everybody.
It popped into my head.
Thinking about Rice-Eccles Stadium. And then people down at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, too.
I actually wasn't allowed in Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
No, you were. You just weren't allowed on one side of the
– Right. It's just, there were certain like
– There are zones you could visit.
Places.
Right.
Yeah.
There's like a demilitarized zone of Lavelle Edwards Stadium you were allowed into.
So I served in a church position.
Okay.
Where church was held at BYU with a single adult.
Work. I got you.
I was only allowed in certain buildings.
I'm sure. Your key card
they put a – yeah, the key card only worked in certain buildings.
You had a
buildings.
Picture of the drum and feather when it would come up on the screen.
Yeah, ankle monitor.
No. Can't do
you're
it.
Not. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to
the
see
the GPS.
These
says you're not allowed to go on this thing. No. That's what's funny to me is that you were down in Provo, working with a bunch of BYU students.
Yes,
having had the history that you do.
Yeah.
So we're just throwing it out there as some fun. It's not serious. So when people came at us and were like, "You shouldn't ban anybody. We're trying to be more open these days." Okay. Why don't we be friendly and allow everybody? It's like, well, that's no fun. And here's the other thing: we're not really banning these people, or should we?
The idea is that we're banning them, but the reality is they're not going to show up anyway.
They're not going to come anyway. Right.
We're just flexing our
muscle. And that's part of the thing is we're
letting people know
we're preemptively,
you're not allowed.
Instead of you saying you don't like us, we're going to tell you we don't like you first.
Right.
That's a very Utah move.
Yes.
We are. We
I'm
have
breaking
enough,
up with you
yes,
before you break up
we
with
have
me.
Enough of a chip on our shoulder here. We have enough of our own Utah insecurities.
Yeah. It's like, an insecurity.
No, that's the thing. Yeah. Is Donovan Mitchell, when he says, I love it here in the state of Utah, people cannot get enough of that.
Right.
And then if he says something like, if it comes out like, yeah, I don't really like it there in Salt Lake, then we do this whole, like, I don't even know you. In fact, you can just go right off to New York, kid. Like, if that happens, you will see people absolutely turn on somebody because we will do the thing where it's like, oh, you don't like us? No. We don't like you first.
See, that reminds me of when you go to a concert here in, like, say you go to USANA.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the band is not really that good. Like, it, you know, there's certain bands that live are amazing, like Def Leppard. And there are certain bands that aren't. And
I'll say the Red Hot Chili Peppers sing way out of tune live.
Brett Michaels.
When I was
and,
a kid at the Gorge in Washington, yeah. I was like, what? These yeah. Anthony Kiedis doesn't have perfect pitch?
But see, here's how they do it. About every 5 minutes, they go, Salt Lake City!
Right? Right, yes.
And then everyone goes, yeah,
the
Salt
worst
Lake
is when,
City!
The
yeah.
worst is when they'll be like,
you're a terrible singer, but yeah,
right.
You said our city.
And there have
we
definitely
love you.
There have definitely been instances where musicians have gone, what's up, Colorado Springs? Because they're just like, I think I'm going to play. Yeah. I see mountains.
Right.
Are we in Colorado today, or are we in – they've definitely had people mess up on the names yeah. of the play. And we will
– and those are the people banned.
Right? Those are the people we automatically banned.
You're out.
All right. So we'll have that coming up. And that's in the realm of sports and or entertainment. The political side of things we don't care for. But I love the idea of just getting ahead of things and banning people. You know? And I want to do it in my life. I actually do that in my life. I
yeah.
just got
no,
preemptively
well, aren't
banned.
We supposed to do that?
Yes.
I mean, any good therapist will tell you. It's like, you need to get rid of all those people that are...
Eliminate
that,
them.
You know, suck the life out of your life. All the negative energy. You just got to get rid of it.
You think that's what Vladimir Putin did?
He's well, he like, talked to his therapist. The therapist
like,
said, look.
These people bring... I am so anxious to think about some of these people come to my country.
Well, he's not doing very well in his war right now, so he's got to figure out...
Get the big headache.
Yeah. How can I feel good about myself?
I like Mike Lee. This is one I want to see here. Bring Mike Lee here. All right, so we'll have that. We'll roll that out a little bit later. We are now officially 100 days from Utah BYU starting off their seasons.
This is the day.
Today's the day, 100 days
this
today.
This is the day, 100 days from today.
And so I think I wanted to kind of roll out some of the things that we are asked the most. When it comes to the teams that we cover here, Utah, BYU, Utah State, and, I mean, I've covered BYU, like, exclusively for a lot of my career. And so it's only been the last, like, 5 years that I've been forced to mostly branch out. Although it's not like I was totally unaware. But, like, you and I, between the two of us, we have a lot of Utah and BYU covered. And Utah State we've just taken on as a point of force because we just
it's
go,
a
hey.
Charity. It's a charity.
No, no, come on.
It is. Come on.
Scott,
it's a
Scott's
charity.
Hard. Scott's hard because he will actually be like, okay.
The research says.
I'll study it.
I'm just following the research.
It's not
my thoughts.
Here are the things that
you know
people
what,
ask
I just
us.
Really quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love – this is what I love about sports. This is what I love about college football is because you have – these storylines and you don't know what's going to happen. It's like,
sure.
It's like waiting for Christmas, waiting to open those presents. And it's like, what is it really going to be? How am I going to be surprised? It's really the best entertainment. I think you can watch because it's live and it just doesn't turn out the way that you actually want it to. So I just really like, I love the anticipation leading up to the season. I love that we're counting this down. I love that we're going to talk about this every day, that it's going to get exciting. It's going to be fun, and I just really look forward to it.
I look at it. These are basically things that people ask us the most. Utah, BYU, Utah State. These are the things that people ask the most. Right off the bat, how good can Jaren Hall be? I'll go with the BYU side of things, Scott. And so you and I got to know Jaren really well last
yes.
year, came on our show every week, and we chatted through a lot of what he was going through. Win, lose, or draw, and injuries or not. Like half, and he was very, very good about keeping us in the dark when it came to his injuries and everybody else too, right? He'd come on the show and go, yeah, I feel pretty good. We'll see what goes on this weekend. Are you going to play this week? well, I'm absolutely preparing to play this weekend. And we're like, okay. And then he wouldn't.
Right.
Right? In a couple of instances.
He was kind of sandbagging us a little bit, wasn't he?
I'm fine with it because, you know what? Like,
well, he's not going to go on a radio station and go.
Right. And the team's saying, we don't talk about injuries. And then Jaren goes on our show and goes, yeah, no, I'm out 3 to 5 weeks.
So he's not really loyal to
us. But when you talk about a guy who needs to turn a corner, or does he need to turn a corner, or what is the next version of Jaren that you want to see improve, Scott, when we're 100 days away from BYU, the biggest question mark is not really around Jaren, but he is that linchpin of being able to keep that team together, and he's the key to their success because he's the starting quarterback at BYU.
When you have a guy that's really conscious of don't turn over the ball, take care of the football, take care of the football, there comes some time where you sometimes get indecisive, or there are times when you get labeled like I'm a check down Charlie, right? And just dropping back and throwing a deep pass, that's actually very conservative. Like on first down, it's like, let's just take a shot throwing the ball down the field. That's not a not conservative move, actually, because you just have one guy, and he's just got to beat the other guy. And you know, a lot of times they call him 50-50 balls, depending on your wide receiver. You know, a lot of times there's no read to any of it. So when you get that kind of, like, mindset, when a real opportunity presents itself, you're a little hesitant to make that throw. And I just want to see Jaren Hall get a little bit more aggressive and be a little bit more decisive in some of his reads down the field. With Zach Wilson, I remember watching him as a freshman, should have been in high school, and his mindset was more of an upperclassman. He was actually throwing the ball down the field maybe too much. and a guy like Tanner Mangum was kind of the opposite, where everything was just super safe, super conservative. So getting a little bit more aggressive and a little bit better accuracy on his throwing the football is where he can make a big jump this year.
I think a lot of people, I mean, I think after those, that, you know, whatever the rib injuries that were happening, whatever might have hampered him, where he ends up having to wear a bigger flak jacket, you know, or whatever to protect himself.
Well, how do you wear a bigger one?
I don't know. I guess
it go down below your waist?
No. I think it's just it was more intense than the one he was normally wearing.
Oh, it's like a made out of like Kevlar or like carbon fiber.
Titanium. I don't know. No, carbon fiber would be lighter. No, I don't know.
Well, but it'd be lighter,
I think that there were times where you and I both, you would go, look at this throw. We'd rewatch some of this film, and you go, look at this throw, and you'd be like, he's not 100%. You can just tell he's not 100%. And it's not about whether or not the skill's there or not, or the strength was there or not. It was right now he's not 100% healthy. And I think that's what everybody's looking forward to. But the thing that has worked also with this, and the reason that Jaren Hall has been as successful as he has, is because Aaron Roderick takes freaking shots, man. Like, that is something that, one, Jeff Grimes had to be convinced of, right, when he was calling those plays. Aaron Roderick goes, play number one of the game in our script, we're freaking bombing that thing down the seam. We are going to absolutely open this thing up and give it a shot. And when you have a guy like Puka Nacua, who is going to outrun the majority of the defensive backs that he's going to be facing this year, or he's going to be able to make a double move that will make him, that'll bring him into that window to be able to be seen by Jaren Hall a little bit easier. The front end of those games, they love taking those shots. They like big plays at the beginning of games. You know, Gunnar Romney has always been a part of that, too. They'll go down the field. They have so many of these wide receivers who are used to getting the ball early. The real big question is, and this is another question people ask about BYU football, what about Tyler Allgeier replacing that guy? Your record-breaking year that you have last year is a single-season rushing record. Was tied, I think, for second in the country with rushing touchdowns. And this is a guy who is – it's hard to replace. When you see all the quote-unquote returning production, they have BYU pretty high up on that list, but it's hard to do because
– so with the running back, okay, here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be like this monumental task to replace Tyler Allgeier. He was a great player. That was an amazing offensive line a year ago. Very mature, very solid.
Going to be good again.
Still going to be good again. You get a guy in there with some skill, and this isn't a knock on Tyler Allgeier, but replacing running backs is not the hardest thing you're going to have to do. Watching it unfold year after year at the University of Utah, someone just emerges as that guy, and that's what's going to happen here. Whomever that will be, whether it's Chris Brooks or if it's Lapini Katoa or McChesney, who knows? But someone will show up because that line is just too good.
Right. I just wonder if there's going to be, you know, when they say, oh, there, you're just going to plug in Chris Brooks, who we don't know that much about except for, you know, the load that he got at Cal. And I think a lot of people are excited because it's a P5 transfer coming in.
Yeah.
And that's been successful for BYU before at the running back
spot. When you get run production out of Jaren Hall, which I think they will, and you get maybe you get run production out of, like, Puka fly sweeps and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, he potentially could be a guy like that or somebody else. You're going to have enough of a running game that and maybe it's more spread out than just one guy.
Okay, so there are two things going on also. The biggest question I think that Utah gets, can they really repeat as Pac-12 champions, or is USC already going to be catching up just because of the moves they made in the offseason with getting rid of Clay Helton, adding Lincoln Riley, and then all of the guys who came with him and all the transfers that go in there, including now a young Utah linebacker who never saw the field here at Utah yet, and he's already transferred over to USC. And,
well,
and,
here's the thing about that.
Yeah.
Okay. When you have it's a little bit like the Western Conference in basketball. Like the Utah Jazz had the best record in the NBA a year ago, and they didn't do anything to improve their team. They just said, we're staying pat with our team.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw all these other teams get better and pass them by. USC's not happy that Utah won, won in the Coliseum in Los Angeles, and two, won the conference. And the same thing with Oregon. Oregon got it handed to them by Utah twice. And those are two programs that are like – nationally discussed and respected teams, and the reason they are is because they were able to attract really good coaches. I mean, Lincoln Riley's not ever going to go to Utah. He's not ever going to go to Washington State. He's not ever going to go to Oregon State. There's probably one school in the entire Pac-12, maybe Oregon, that a guy like Lincoln Riley, where he is in his career, is going to go to. And Dan Lanning, who's been at Georgia, who's a perennial top four team in the country, go anywhere he wants, and he goes to Oregon. So these programs are going to come to Utah, and it's and look, I'm high on the Utes, but they have got to come ready to play, and they got to come ready to play from day one. That's really the biggest thing for Utah.
So Carson Tabarachi, out of Park City, transferring. I looked at that and go, well, he's never played at Utah. I don't want people to get up in arms about somebody that has never seen play a down here at Utah. I think that typically, and while every situation is different on the transfers, the reality is that I think you started to see it settle as kind of where the linebacking core really was going to be going. Maybe he saw the writing on the wall. I don't know. I don't know what the personal situations are of these kids who end up transferring. But, you know, obviously if this kid gets out of the program before he even starts, before he even, you know, fires things up, while it's a high commit that Utah loses – you've also got guys there who were probably going to be starting in front of him. It might take away from the depth there, but you hate to lose out, not just to another program, but another program inside your same division of your same conference.
You hate to lose talent in your program. I mean, you just do. But Utah is so deep at the linebacker position this year. And it's one of those things where it's wide open, right? So anyone has a shot. A year ago, no one had a shot to play. Now everyone does. And when you're a guy that you're getting second, third team reps, and you're seeing young guys way ahead of you, and it's like you're not going to see the field. These young kids, so many of them are like, man, if I don't play as a true freshman right out of the box, I'm going somewhere where I have that opportunity. And for Tabarachi to go to USC, which isn't very good on defense, it's not a dumb move or a bad move.
It's a score for them, certainly.
Yeah.
It's more of a pickup for USC than it is a loss for Utah, though.
I mean, now, today, but everyone's gonna lose guys like that. And they're, you know, Xavier Carlton, he's starting at Cal. And he was a defensive end that just, you know, there were guys ahead of him. He was just like, you know, I gotta
go. They were gonna continue to be ahead.
Probably so.
Yeah. Man, so many things that are swirling around this season. What's interesting is that I went on another radio show today talking about the impact the Big 12 is going to have.
How dare you?
No, I know. No.
What show did you go on?
It was Tim and Amanda over on KSL.
Old Timmy and Amanda.
So, look, both Utes, come on.
I know.
But they were down in Utah County, and they were talking about the impact that the economic – and just like the overall – picture of what the Big 12 will do for BYU.
Right.
And all I could think about is this conversation that you and I have had about how you just can never underestimate how big this is going to be. And I think the impactful statement that you made about this was, we could say when Utah got into the Pac-12, it was like they could go to the Rose Bowl. What an amazing thing. That's different from being January 1, 2022 on the field and Ute fans getting all emotional about they're in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
The difference of going, hey, that could happen, to they're here. That's, I think, what BYU fans haven't – like, you can't overestimate how big of a deal this is to be in the spot that they are. And we're a year away still, and I am so jacked up about talk about Big 12 football and Pac-12 every week on this program. You know what I mean? Week in and week out of college football season, and we can't overestimate, about how important it is. How important this is going to be.
You're not an afterthought anymore. You're not a team that comes along every once in a while as a Cinderella story, a bull buster. You're part of the conversation in college football.
But it even makes this year more important, I think, too.
Oh, yeah. I used to ask these coaches and people at the University of Utah, is there really been a change since you got admission into the Pac-12? And they said from day one. The players that you can even talk to, the players that are, you know, it's all about recruit.
Right.
It's about recruiting. It's about money. It's about the ability to invest in infrastructure and facilities, invest in coaches, invest in the support staff. It's been huge. It's just totally changed the entire program.
We've got a lot going on. We're going to take our first break here.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.